Bringing you everything under the Disney umbrella. Network 1901.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Lipstick and Lightsabers. I am Shannon.
And I'm Alex.
And today, we have a lot of things to talk about, okay?
Yeah. I mean, this was supposed to be our last, like, freebie episode before we, like, really dove into the storm of pre-The Rise of Skywalker content, but I feel like this episode still ended up being that, and it's not so much a freebie.
Yeah, I feel like that kind of got thrown out the window. We do have a topic prepared. We're going to be talking about Padlo, which is Kylo Ren and Padme parallels. But we got three new comics, all of the Force Friday reveals, Empire Magazine, some exciting announcements about directors, and Alex and I both read a book that we can't stop screaming about. So,
yeah,
it's going to be a lot.
We both read 1.5 books.
We read 1.5 books. What was the half book?
The other one that we both dropped.
Oh, yeah. So, I already forgot. Yeah. So, I guess we're just going to jump right into it. We're going to start with Force Friday. So, lots of toys. What are some highlights?
Bulio and Babu. I don't know how to start with them. But,
Babu Frick.
Yeah, so... So when the live stream was happening, I was at work, so I just put it on in the background to listen to. So I wasn't seeing any visuals, but I just knew that they kept talking about Bulio, and all the actors would be like, oh, we can't talk about Bulio. And it's like, who's Bulio?
Yeah. Well, I'm like... I kind of forgot about the live stream for a hot minute, and I was, like, editing, and all of a sudden you messaged me, and you're like, Bulio and Babu, and I'm like, excuse me? What's happening right now?
So, Bulio is some alien that has these weird horns, and we saw a Lego figure of him.
Yes, on the Falcon.
And so, yeah, exactly, on the Falcon near a bed or something, that, like, near the bed.
Basically, this is another way of saying that Alex and I both noticed that there is a bed on the Falcon
Lego set.
Yes.
Yeah. So is he with the Resistance? Like, what's so mysterious about Bulio?
Yeah, I feel like maybe they're going to pick him up on Passana. Maybe. Depends on where that takes place. I don't know.
Maybe he's on Galaxy's Edge.
Maybe. Well, and see, that kind of makes me think, because Babu is a droid builder. So I'm like, does he tie into Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah. But then Babu has these weird, huge, furry hands that look like the ones in the trailer.
Yeah. So is he rebuilding Kylo Ren's mask?
Perhaps.
There's a lot of mystery.
Is he building the mask for Kylo or for someone else?
Yes. A lot of the images that we've been getting have been Kylo in the mask, but he's not quite as thick.
Yeah. I do think it's him, and I think it's just sloppy on their part that he, like, maybe Adam's been really busy, so they've been having a stand-in for him. I don't know.
I could believe that. Yeah. Or, you know, they took those pictures at a different time, or, you know, he's always... He changes so much for, like, all of his roles.
Yeah, he fluctuates his weight all the time.
Yeah, and we just got a lot of pictures from the new Empire magazine, and one of them, which just came out today as of we were recording, is a maskless Kylo, but he's holding the cracked mask.
Yeah.
So.
And that was literally just dropped this morning when we're recording it. So it's fresh in our minds. It's an interesting photo. His feet are in a weird position, but we all, if you're a Kylo... /Adam Driver stan, you know his feet are always kind of in a weird position.
Yeah.
That's very him. And then there's stormtroopers all over the place, kind of scattered on the floor.
yeah, basically we have no idea what's happening in this picture, but the Raylos and, you know, all of the other Meta people have been furiously trying to figure it out. I think two conspiracy theories right now are that maybe the Falcon is taking off, that's why it's all blue and people are falling over, or it could be some kind of crazy force thing.
Yeah. And the other crazy thing to point out is Chris Terrio had a lot to say in his interview, and he was pointing out that when Kylo isn't wearing his mask, he's very vulnerable to Rey, and he's very, like, naked. And this photo, he's not wearing his mask, so does that, is that saying something that, like, he is potentially looking at Rey? I don't know.
Yeah, and he also said that this was something that is, like, only for Rey. So... basically, the Raylos are winning. We also have a Raylo cover of Empire and one where Kylo Ren and Rey are standing together, and it's purple.
I love that cover.
Yeah, the cover is gorgeous. So I'm really excited. I know that a lot of people are upset because a lot of the Force Friday stuff and a lot of the Empire stuff has been, you know, masked Kylo. But I really do feel like it's a huge spoiler for him to not be in the mask. I think if we were getting unmasked Kylo, it would be, I'm evil now, instead of, I'm crying, so I have to wear a mask so nobody can see that I'm crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a hot mess, guys. So what about the other toys? So we got a lot of pops. Rose has a new pop. Comics finally has one.
I love the Rose one. I think I'm going to get Rose and Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I also want Kylo, but I don't know if I want a mask. Should I just hold out for, like, eventually there'll be an unmasked Kylo, I'm sure.
Don't you think? I'm holding out for an unmasked Kylo, because I have a masked one from TFA, and he doesn't have a Rey to go with him, so I'm going to get a Rey so that I can have three sets of Raylo. And then if there's an unmasked Kylo, I'll just get another Rey somewhere. Maybe there'll be another Rey.
Yeah. Because for The Last Jedi, they had a second batch of Funkos that came out after the movie. And they came with, like, Paige and the Space Nuns. And, no, the Porg was in the first batch. But there were other things that were more spoiler-heavy that came out later.
Well, even The Force Awakens, like, there's two Kylos. There's a masked Kylo and an unmasked Kylo. Because both of my Kylos are from The Force Awakens, and then I have those, like, weird vinyls that came together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get a lot more. I'm really happy that Rose was in there somewhere, and we got, you know, like, a Janna pop, too, so that's exciting. I think the biggest thing that has come out of Force Friday is kind of, where's Rose?
Yeah.
Because that's really the only Rose that we're getting, is just that pop figure.
Yeah, there was no Box Series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we did learn that she's, like, a commander now, so we've got, like, some details about her character. Yeah, but she's not in that poster that we saw, like, forever ago when it leaked. That's, like, an official poster. She's not on that. So it's kind of, it's a little worrisome. I'm not super surprised by that, though, especially because I always thought that JJ was going to go back and have more Poe than he would Rose. So I'm not super surprised, but it is disappointing.
Yeah. And the problem is it's really sad that JJ is like, you know what? Like, Rose wasn't really the character I made. So it's really frustrating, especially because, like, him saying at Celebration, saying, like, oh, Rose, like, Kelly Marie Tran was, like, the best thing that Ryan did.
Yeah, I mean, at least she's going to be in the new Justina Ireland book that's also coming out Force Friday. That one's Spark of the Resistance.
Yeah, but Ryan didn't make this awesome character to just fall back and be a book character.
No, he definitely didn't. And Kelly Marie Tran is amazing, and Rose is such a wonderful character. So I feel like we're not going to know until the movie comes out. So it's like, I'm trying to stay positive. It's getting harder, but hopefully she'll have some good moments.
Yeah. Can I say one thing I really did like was their reaction to Janna's bow and arrow?
Yeah.
They were freaking out over it. Like, and can you imagine a bow and arrow in Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, and it's huge for one thing. So it's I'm really curious about Jana's character. Mm-hmm. And I was glad that she Naomi Aki and Kelly Marie Tran did the unboxing together. That was really cute.
They seem like they're really good friends. Their reactions
were great. Mhm. I hope that they get screen time together. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a lot of her and Connix on the sidelines, which is, but, you know.
Yeah.
Pass the Bechdel test, JJ, please. I beg you.
Yeah, but I mean, hopefully, I'm trying to think if Rose isn't in the picture, how they're going to do that. But I guess with Jana, potentially, but, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't know. But we also discovered a couple of things about The Mandalorian. They got some new stuff as well. I think the best and coolest thing out of that was that Kara has a face tattoo of the Rebellion. That's really
awesome.
On
her cheek. It's mm-hmm. so cute.
I know. It's adorable. I'm surprised that, like, nobody had noticed that before. Yeah. But I guess, like, it's really little. Yeah, that's exciting. And then the final bit for Triple Force Friday is not Frozen, but Fallen Order. So we got a new trailer for Fallen Order. Yeah. And Alex has a theory about it.
I don't think my theory stemmed from this trailer. It was before the trailer happened.
Yeah, but I feel like it's like blossomed. And honestly, if you're not right, I'm going to be so disappointed.
Well,
in Lucas.
I was about to say, I really don't consider it a theory. I consider it a pipe dream.
It's fact.
Because
what it is, it's fact.
Okay, I don't think it's going to happen, to be honest.
It's going to happen. I don't know what you're talking about. This is factual information that you were about to hear. You heard it here first. Lipstick and lightsabers dropping the tea. This happens every time.
Okay. What is happening is Fallen Order is going to be a childhood friends to enemies to lovers.
Yes. Yes. With, what is his name? Cal?
Cal. And the second
sister.
So the theory is that they both grew up at the temple together and they were really good friends. And then she obviously becomes an inquisitor and she's hunting him.
Yes.
Fun stuff.
I mean, come on. Come on. Like, that's amazing. And we need it. And plus, Christy Golden, who wrote the novelization for Inferno Squad, is amazing. And if this game also gets a novelization and she writes it, I would love to see her write this trope. Please break me.
But the frustrating thing is Battlefront 2, the book, came out before the game.
It came out,
I think, October, like around now.
Yeah, so I could see where, like, nothing has been announced, so who knows. I know both Battlefront games had a book, so I just feel like if they continue that trend, we could get one, but obviously nothing's been announced. So this is all speculation, but if it does happen, you heard it here first. And who doesn't want to see that? Like, it's beautiful. Enemies to friends, or friends to enemies.
Yeah. And can
lovers.
I just say that the actor they got to play Cal looks like Ray Diggory.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, we'll get there.
We'll get there. Okay, so before we get to that, we did get some unsettling news along with all of this. Although, we did get some exciting news about the director for Kenobi.
Yeah, good news first.
Yeah, good news first. Do you know, I don't have her name pulled
Deborah up. Deborah Chow, I think.
Yeah,
I believe.
Deborah Chow. Mm-hmm, yeah, so she'll be directing the Kenobi series, or at least an episode, part of it. Nobody really knows how they're doing it.
I thought I saw someone say that she was also writing it, but I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I don't know. But that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Like,
cause clearly,
good on you, Lucasfilm.
Yeah, clearly she did a really good job with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited. And I'm a huge Jessica Jones fan also, and I think that her episodes of that have been great too.
Yeah. This makes me more excited for the Kenobi series, I think. Because, like, I was excited for it, but I was hoping for, like, a younger Obi-Wan, not Obi-Wan exiled in the desert. So,
What's weird is...
I'm excited to see what she's going to do.
I was going to say, even though Cassian's coming out first, have we heard who's directing Cassian?
No, we've heard nothing. We don't even know what Cassian's called.
Can I be honest? It's almost like after the news dropped of Kevin Feige, they're like, let's settle them down.
Yes. So that
really feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kevin Feige was announced to... Yeah. What is he doing?
He's producing a Star Wars movie. I don't think it's inherently a horrible news because there is so little about it. What I didn't like was the way the article was written.
Yes.
Because I don't think, like, Kevin Feige producing a Star Wars movie, means, like, oh, we're doomed. Like, I really don't think that because we don't know who else is involved and what his, like, part in it will really be.
Mm-hmm.
So... That is not so much what worries me. It's more like what they said in that article about coming in to help after The Last Jedi. And it was really weird and contradictory because The Last Jedi, they're like, it made it $1.3 billion. But it separated everyone, in the fandom. And it was strange.
Yeah, it kind of, they phrased it like it's damage control.
Yeah.
Because they also were citing how, Solo didn't make as much money. And to me, I'm like, well, that should be your indicator that that's not what people want. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit annoying. And it kind of reminds me of how they were sort of pitching The Mandalorian. Because I was really worried about The Mandalorian until we saw stuff for it. And now I'm like, okay. It's going to be interesting because they were kind of saying it's a return to original fans and all that kind of stuff. So it's worrying. It's not the end of the world, especially because he has a particular actor in mind. So
yeah,
it could be anything.
But then, so he has a particular actor, big name actor in mind for a role, which is kind of weird because Star Wars has always been non-big actors.
Yeah, they kind of make big actors.
Yeah, and so he has a big actor in mind for the role. And I believe I saw somewhere that Brie Larson and Chris Evans voice, their, want to be in Star Wars. And I think they're both big actors, but I wouldn't necessarily be against either of them, depending on how big the role was. I don't think Chris Evans needs a huge role in Star Wars, is what I'm saying.
No, I don't. Yeah, I would be interested in Brie Larson. I feel like she's talked about this before.
Yeah.
That she wants to be in Star Wars. Neither one of them get me, super excited, except for maybe Brie Larson.
Yeah.
But it would really depend on who's writing it and what the story
is. Yeah, that's why I'm, I'm not completely against Kevin Feige. It's just, there's so many questions. I'm concerned that he would hire the Russo brothers because they were on the Star Wars show recently talking about how much they love Star Wars, and that's what's setting red flags for me.
Yeah, and we kind of have a little bit of a beef with the Russo brothers right now.
Yeah.
Because, they did Endgame, they did Infinity War.
And Civil War,
yeah. Yeah. And Endgame didn't do the best job with their female characters.
Yeah.
But recently we discovered that the Russo brothers are working on an adaptation of a book called Cherry. It came out earlier this year. And the reason it came to our attention is because they have Tom Holland playing the lead actor. We got really excited and both of us tried to read this book. It's really bad, guys.
It was hard to read.
It's full, I hate women mode. It's real bad.
Yeah. So that's kind of why, that's where I'm coming at from my, Russo hate this week. It's not
exactly.
So much Endgame.
That's our salt.
Yeah, it's not, I mean, I do have issues with Endgame, obviously, but it's more to do with Cherry. But Cherry does have a female scriptwriter on board, so maybe they're fixing that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
I know you read more of Cherry than I did.
Yeah.
But I could tell right off the bat that what it needs is more pairs of eyes and more different people looking at it. Because it's an interesting story. It's the story of a guy who he goes to war and he gets super traumatized and he comes home and he can't really function. So he gets addicted to drugs and he starts robbing banks. And it's an interesting story, but the tone of voice that it's told in is extremely clunky. Mm-hmm. The main character is horrible to everyone, especially women. And it just, I think if you rework it and you kind of use that foundation of the story and like build something new out of it, it could be really good. I don't know if they're the ones to do it, though.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the Kevin Feige thing, is that hopefully it won't be the Russos.
Yeah. Yeah, which, well, only time will tell. Luckily, we still have Rise of Skywalker and Reylo as canon, so they can never take that away from us. Mm-hmm. but New York City Comic Con is coming up, so there's probably going to be more and more announcements coming out of that. We still don't know who's writing the 9 novelization, so we could get that news.
Oh my god, I didn't even think about it.
I know, right? I just keep thinking about January 2018. Where's the novelization? I need it. So I'm excited. We're going to be getting a lot of information once we're into October, which by the time you're listening to this, we are into October. So just get ready, y'all.
Wow, we're already in October.
We're already in October. It's the 29th right now, so it's basically October. All right, so we also wanted to give a huge shout-out to our friend Allie from the Knights of Ren, who did an awesome episode where she highlighted both Alex and myself, just kind of talking about like what we've done for fandom and lipstick and lightsabers, and I don't think either one of us knew that was going to happen.
No.
I literally cried while I was listening to it.
I was crying, too.
Yeah,
it was so nice.
And she drew us pictures. She drew me Noodle Boy. It was just great. Like, this fandom, I understand that some people have issues with fandom and that sometimes it can be really horrible, but other times it's just really great. And that's what Lipstick and Lightsabers is all about. So thank you so much, Allie.
Thank you.
Okay, so Alex, do you want to talk about a little book?
I can't.
I don't know if anybody's heard of it.
I can't do Serpent this.
You can't do this?
Should I read?
So I... Yeah, read us we're going to turn into lipstick and libraries for a second. We're going to talk about a book that has nothing to do with Star Wars before we get into our Star Wars discussion. But Alex, please give us the synopsis of this book and please give us the author because I don't have my book.
Okay. I'm going to read the back, actually, because I think this is really interesting. Cackles. A witch and a witch hunter bound in holy matrimony. I can't keep a straight face because I'm so excited about this book. Okay. There was only one way such a story could end. A stake and a match. Yeah, so it's written by Shelby Mahurin.
Mahurin.
Yeah. And it's called Serpent and Dove. And it was amazing.
Yeah, it was
I don't want to get too into it because I think a lot of our listeners would enjoy it. So I don't want to spoil anything. But it was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I read this book and I inspired Alex to just go out and buy it.
Yeah. And I read this book so fast.
Yeah, I read it really fast, too.
Yeah, I couldn't put it down.
Yeah, and it is hard to talk about some of it without getting into spoilers, because there are some huge things that happen that, like, that's all that you want to talk about. But basically, you know, this is a witch and a witch hunter. They kind of crash right into each other. Things happen, and the only way to solve these problems is, I guess we got to get married. Reed Diggory is baby boy... straight-laced,
he's a
witch hunter for the church. Yeah, he's too pure for this world. He follows the rules, and he's very sweet. He's enormous. This book has size kink because Lou is really tiny. Like, Lou's got this shady past that he doesn't know anything about, but he wants to protect her even though she's a heathen. Guys,
he calls her
there's only
heathen.
One bed.
I think this book has, like, every trope you want, though.
It does. It has everything you could possibly ask for. Like, especially as Reylo's, like, it has everything. And honestly, this is, like, my favorite book that I've ever read.
And it made it very difficult to read anything after. Like I said, I started Cherry immediately after this book. And it was, like, it was probably a good idea to read a bad book after, because if I was reading like a good to mediocre book, it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah, because like I read like Salt and Sorrow and Gilded Wolves, and like those books are okay anyway, but they seemed worse just because of Serpent and Dove. So the romance is unparalleled. Like Shelby is amazing. This is her debut novel. So if you have a massive book hangover, too bad, because you can't go read any of her other books because she hasn't written any other books. But we do have a release date for the next book, Blood and Honey, which comes out the weekend of Celebration, I believe, or the week right after Celebration next year.
It's so crazy we're talking about Celebration in terms of the timeline.
I know. That's how I was last night. I'm like, is it time for Celebration again? I want to go back. But man, the Raylo community just needs to get on this book. Like I'm waiting for everybody to freak out. I have like everybody at work lined up to read it. It's
just great. Like this book reminds me about how much I love Femgaze. Yes. It's so good.
Yes. It's Reed Diggory is such a such a great guy. He's the Dove. I remember when I told you that and you lost it.
I was like, give this book to me now.
Because like I was describing him to you and I'm like, oh yeah, he's the Dove, and you're like, what? He's also a virgin. It's great, guys. Just go read this book. Please read this book. And if you do, please tell us your thoughts.
Yeah, message or tag us in DM your threads. DM us.
We want to know.
Yeah,
it's because I think
you had fun with me just freaking out over everything.
Oh yeah, like I got to relive the book while you were reading it, and like the whole time I'm like trying to remember the sequence of events, because I'm like, there's this one part, and I'm like, when Alex gets to this part, and I think we quote that scene like every day.
we'll be talking about anything, and then the conversation just gets derailed to like quoting that scene.
Yeah, it's like, do you remember in Serpent and Dove when this happened? Yeah, but we do think, yeah, that the actor who plays Cal for...
He looks like Reed, Fallen I think. Order.
He does look like Reed. Yeah. I think that's the closest we've come, because he's supposed to be, like, really tall.
I don't think
like,
he's...
red hair.
I was going to say, I don't think the actor who plays Cal is necessarily, like, tall enough, but...
But if they got a really tiny person for Lou...
Get someone who's, like, 5 feet, it's fine.
Yeah, it's... I'm upset that Cherry has a movie deal already, and Serpent Dove doesn't.
Yeah.
They both came out this year. But time will tell. Time will tell. I am ready for Blood and Honey. Just take my soul, please. Okay, but we can't talk any more about it because we'll start spoiling it. So now we're going to talk about the Rey, Rose, and Kylo comics that we got over the last 2 weeks.
So... Age of Resistance, Rose Tico in My Hero. Young sisters Rose and Paige Tico are inseparable and growing up in an era of hope and peace. The time of the glorious New Republic means that their futures are as bright and boundless as the stars of the galaxy, but a war is coming. And new heroes will need to rise to defend the galaxy once more.
I liked the Rose comic. I liked the aspect of we get to see a little bit more of her relationship with her sister, Paige.
Yeah.
I do think... I've read Cobalt Squadron, so it's not really anything new from that book.
Yeah.
But it was still exciting to see.
Yeah, I actually think that this one was my favorite out of these three.
I liked it more than Rey, for sure.
I thought it was really, really cute, and I just love Rose and Paige so much.
And honestly,
seeing them with their family and flashbacks, like with their parents, was really nice.
Yeah, and honestly, now that we know that Rose becomes a commander, I think this does set that up a little bit, because it starts off with her talking about how she looks up to her big sister Paige, and it ends with Paige talking about how she looks up to Rose, and Rose is just so willing to do what's right, and the way, you know, like, the way her planet was treated and the way, you know, that it was destroyed just really makes her want to do something. She's a very inspiring character.
And I've always liked sister stories in media, and I don't think we get too many sister stories in Star Wars.
Do we have any? I don't think we have any.
I'm a huge fan of, like, just the sister story between Gamora and Nebula in Marvel Universe. And, like, we don't have anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, we know that Padme has sisters, but we don't see them.
No, it's not a visible story.
Yeah, and everything else, like, you know, Luke and Leia are siblings, but I don't think anybody else really has, like, a sibling.
I just so even mean, like, two sisters.
Well, and, like, that's another reason why I would love to see Rose and Rey interact more, because I feel like Rose could be that sister to Rey that, like, Rey never had. Like, Rey's been alone for so long, and Rose is in this unique position where, like, she had an older sister. And I always thought about that, like, I'm an only child, and then I have two cousins who are sisters, and they both kind of took me in, because it's like, they know how to be sisters.
I'm exact same.
Yeah, we're the same person.
Yeah.
So it's just really good. Like, I liked the Rose one. The Rey and Kylo ones, I wish... Let's talk about Rey.
Okay, so I'll go into the little synopsis. Rey in Alone. So this one's called Alone. So sad. Okay. Orphaned on a desert planet, Jakku. She was orphaned. Guys. It says here, Marvel knows what's up. Rey has lived her whole life alone. That is, until she joined the Resistance, a band of intergalactic freedom fighters who defend the galaxy from the villainous First Order. Now she may be the Resistance's last hope as she works towards strengthening her connection to the Force.
I think that this one had a lot of good, like, meta-textual stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she talks with Leia, and Leia says, you know, there is another, which Yoda says about Leia before. She goes to this, like, dead city, kind of like this underworld type of thing, and, like, emerges triumphant because she's a scavenger. But the story itself was just kind of meh.
It's kind of weird, though. She looks like she's flying Boba Fett's ship.
Which maybe she is. Maybe it's a little, like, Easter egg.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Boba Fett.
I thought this story was fine. Like, there was nothing, like, that stood out, though.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of wish that it had ended on a... It ends on such a note where, like, knowing what happens with her and Luke Skywalker meeting in The Last Jedi, it's kind of like... It's so, like, the angels are singing, and I'm so full of hope, and I reach out with this lightsaber, and then we know that immediately Luke Skywalker takes it and throws it over his shoulder. So, it's kind of funny. I don't know if they meant for it to be, but do you want to move on to Kylo?
Yeah, we can do that. Okay. Kylo Ren in Out of the Shadow. Ooh. Out of the Shadow.
And into the light.
The son of smuggler Han Solo and Princess Leia Organa, Ben Solo was once one of the most promising of the new generation of Jedi. That is, until his uncle, Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, sensed the dark side in Ben. Since then, Ben has abandoned the ways of the Jedi. As Kylo Ren of the villainous First Order, he now walks a dark path. Dot, dot, dot.
So in case you forget, Kylo Ren, a.k.a. Ben Solo, the son of Princess Leia Organa, who was also the daughter of Darth Vader, and then she married Han Solo, the famous smuggler. Those are his parents, in case you forgot. I feel like every dark side comic we've gotten other than Phasma is, like, driving that home.
Yeah,
because, like, Hux was like, he's very much like his mother, and he looks kind of like a prince, and Snoke is all about trying to snuff that light out, but he couldn't kill his parents, and now we have him trying to live up to Darth Vader's legacy, and I think you get a good, good little glimpse of young Kylo Ren trying so hard. And he, kind of the way he, like, exercises diplomacy, and he does negotiations, but he gets kind of angry, you do see kind of some flashes of, like, that's so Leia, or, like, that's a little bit of Padme, that's a little bit of Anakin in there. So any content that we get from him, I like that they're kind of showing that. The story itself is just kind of
And he's being there. A big dumbass in the story, too.
Yeah, he jumps headfirst
out of a plane. Out of a plane.
Yeah, into the mouth of the Zillow Beast. Yes. Yeah. And literally this happens, and then, like, the next panel, it's like, okay, well, he was fun while he lasted, and then he just, like, pops back out. I really...
I'm trying to think of what this reminds me of. This happened in something. I'm going to think about it after.
Yeah. Regardless, he is an extra emo bitch, and that's what this comic is trying to show you. I did see Marie Claire from What the Force had some good thoughts about, like, he's kind of talking to this old Imperial trooper the whole time, and he kind of represents, like, the old ways, or as if he's talking to Anakin this whole time, which is really interesting. I don't know if that was the intention, but that's definitely a good thing to pull out of this. But those are the last of the Age of Resistance comics, right? Or are we going to be getting more?
No, that's done now.
Yeah, that's the last of it. There are some others that have a very similar name that I can't think of. Everything is about Resistance right now. Allegiance? That's what's coming out. And those are going to line up a little bit more with 9.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get those yet. I haven't decided.
Yeah, I don't know yet either. And then after that is the Rise of Kylo Ren.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah. Well, we gotta see our baby boy. But I think out of all of the comics, honestly, I think Hux might be my favorite.
Hux and Snoke have been my favorite.
Hux and Snoke, yeah. I really liked Phasma, though.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, all of the good guy ones were just a little too fluffy.
But that's us.
That's us, yeah. We like to hurt. So, yeah, I think we specifically said today, like, I want angsty sub boys, not fluffy dumb boys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'd love to know your thoughts if you read the comics as well, or if you haven't really been getting into comics. I think these are a good way to kind of break into that. For me, I still wish there was more there, but I liked these stories a lot and I liked reading them. These were the first ones that I'd really dove into.
Yeah, I think we had a good time talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun.
Okay, well, I think with that, we did very good. Hasn't even been going for an hour yet. I think we're ready to move on into our discussion of Padlo. Yes. So do you want to give us a little bit of, like, an introduction to this idea?
Yeah. So I think the idea of Padlo kind of stemmed from us reading Queen Shadow. So that was back in January. When was that?
February?
Yeah.
Early this year?
Yeah, so...
Before Celebration?
Mm-hmm. The book Queen Shadow by E.K. Johnson is all about Padme between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones. She is, I believe, 18,
I think. Do you want me to read the inside?
Sure.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking very heavily about Queen Shadow. So here's a little bit of a synopsis. It says, "The end of her reign is just the beginning. When Padme Amidala steps down from her position as Queen of Naboo, she is ready to set aside her title and return to life out of the spotlight. But to her surprise, the new queen asks Padme to continue serving their people, this time in the Galactic Senate. Padme is unsure about the new role, but cannot turn down the request, especially since, thanks to her dearest friend and decoy, Sabe, she can be in two places at once. So while Padme plunges into politics, Sabe sets off on a mission dear to Padme's heart. On the glistening capital planet of Coruscant, Padme's new Senate colleagues regard her with curiosity, and with suspicion for her role in ousting the previous chancellor. Posing as a merchant on Tatooine, Sabe has fewer resources than she thought and fewer options than she needs. Together with Padme's loyal handmaidens, Padme and Sabe must navigate treacherous politics, adapt to constantly changing landscapes, and forge a new identity beyond the Queen's shadow."
Before we get into Padlo, I think it's weird that Sabe on Tatooine is included in the summary.
Yeah, it doesn't last very long.
It's not really important. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've never talked about Queen Shadow on the podcast. Both of us really like this book. It definitely has its faults. Specifically where like the Sabe side comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that it's the end of this book sets up for, like, a sequel that's just about Sabe, though. So we'll have to see if that ever comes about.
The pacing's a little weird in this book, too.
Yeah, especially towards... I think she kind of loses it towards the end. Mm-hmm. But what's really fascinating about this is that I know a lot of people, especially in the Reylo or, like, the Kylo Ren community, don't like E.K. Johnson because she... Or Johnston. Because she has some bad takes about Kylo Ren. She doesn't like him as a character. She has likened him to, like an abusive boyfriend, all that kind of stuff. And what's really interesting is that the whole time both of us were reading this book, we're just like... Padme, like, Kylo Ren is Padme.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many parallels.
Mm-hmm. I remember picking this book up and just being like, wait a second, like, how is this EK? Like, is EK making these parallels without realizing it?
Yeah, which is kind of a yikes if she is. It could also be that she just doesn't like Kylo Ren anyway, or maybe she's trying to throw people off. I don't know. But regardless, if you haven't read Queen's Shadow, I really do recommend it. There's a lot of good stuff to get out of this book.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people decided they weren't going to read it because of those comments. And I don't think that this book deserves that, especially a book about Padme that we've been waiting so long for. I think Padme deserves the read.
Yeah, it doesn't really say, I don't like this author, as much as it says, I don't want a YA book about Padme.
Yeah, I don't want more Padme content.
Yeah, so it's kind of, when it comes to books, like, that's kind of how it goes. So I think this is a really great book about Padme, and I think seeing those connections to her grandson is what really jumps out. And it does get into reverse Annie Dalla, which is a huge Reylo theory. What the Force talks about it a lot. I think even they've talked about it on Meta Machina. But in a lot of those, people say that, you know, Kylo is Anakin and Rey is Padme. But in this, it's kind of more like Kylo Ren is kind of like a dark Padme, or kind of like what could have happened if maybe she had been more underneath Palpatine's shadow.
Yeah. And I think also if Kylo hadn't been under that dark shadow as much, he would have followed her path more.
I think so, too. It's talked about in Bloodline that Leia is offered to be, like, I guess, like, another queen of a planet, or maybe it would, like, get passed on to Ben Solo or something like that. But she says that, like, he wouldn't want that. Like, he wouldn't want to be, like, the monarch of a planet. But regardless, everything that we've kind of gotten about him kind of lends me to believe that he does have a lot of Leia and Padme in him, and that he would be a very good leader.
Yeah, all the leadership traits and the political traits I think he has from them.
Yeah, I think where the hot mess kind of comes in, especially with him being Supreme Leader, is that I just don't think he cares about this cause as much as maybe he used to.
Yeah,
and he's gotten very distracted.
I was also going to say, him being at the temple, he is isolated from everything that is happening when he was there with Luke and everything. So he wasn't necessarily as deep in, like, the New Republic of what was going on politically at the time.
Yeah, and there are a lot of questions about if he hadn't been sent away. I know there's one fic that we really love called Satellites, where he does become a senator. I could see a very, like, different way this could have gone with him, you know, being in the running for the New Republic, you know, the head of the New Republic, like Leia was in Bloodline, if he was around. I could have definitely seen him taking that path.
Yeah, and I think that this episode is even... inspired by Satellites a little bit, because Satellites is a fic. It is canon verse, but it is an AU where Padme and Anakin, like, Anakin doesn't turn to the dark side, so Padme is alive and she gets to be in the lives of her kids and her grandson. So they're very close in this fic, and it's really, really well written, and I think the author does a really good job of getting Padme and Ben, like, really on character.
Yeah, it's by Nymja. It's NYMJA on AO3, if you haven't read it yet. It's kind of touch and go with updates.
It's still worth it. I would say still read it. It's really good.
I think her interpretation of Ben Solo is really, really spot on, especially when you read Queen Shadow. And she started writing that before Queen Shadow came out and all those parallels were kind of made. So it's really, really well done. But you do see this in him. And also when I was reading this book, like, you can't help but notice that, like, a lot of the characters think certain things about Padme because they think that she is kind of under Palpatine's thumb. She is very instrumental in ousting, you know, the original Chancellor and getting Palpatine put on there. He's from the same planet as her. They're very close. And so people kind of think that maybe she's just like a puppet and that maybe Palpatine is kind of pulling her strings. She's kind of been groomed by him a little bit. And you do see that in this book. And luckily for her, being in the Senate, she becomes friends with Bail Organa and Mon Mothma and kind of starts to break away from that. But you could say that, you know, Ben Solo falls prey to this because he's groomed by Snoke. Snoke sees all of this in him as well and uses that to his advantage. So again, it's kind of like that dark Padme, like what would have happened if maybe she had been on a different side.
And it's interesting because as of right now, we basically assume that Kylo didn't have those friends that Padme did.
Yeah, he was very isolated. Because you got to think, you know, Padme had sisters. She had two parents that she was with for a long time. She had all of her handmaidens. She had a huge, huge support system. Mm-hmm. Ben Solo didn't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really devastating to me. And this kind of goes into a little bit of, like, the next section. But Ben Solo is an introvert. And both of his parents are extroverts, and it can be really hard to grow up with that kind of influence.
Yeah.
And I could definitely see him coming more into himself and not feeling understood. And it's truly disappointing that him and Luke couldn't have been closer, because Luke is also an introvert. So it's mm-hmm. everything was kind of against him.
Yeah, and I think that if Padme had been around still, I think him and Padme would have been really close, and she would have understood him more than anyone did.
Definitely, because he definitely has some Anakin in him. Not as much as Leia has Anakin in her, but I think that Padme could have really helped him because she, in a way, kind of helped Anakin a little bit, so she would have known how to be there for him and to be able to listen. She's an introvert as well. She's a little bit more on the intellectual, introspective side of things. And that's, like, the real, like, issue with, like, Star Wars is tragedy, because if Padme could have been there for her grandson, things would have turned out so, so differently.
He wouldn't have been as isolated.
No, he would have finally had somebody.
And I was just going to say, and I think that Rey and Kylo's partnership, no matter how you see it, there doesn't have to be romantic, is what is going to help the universe, because he won't be as isolated anymore.
Yeah, he's finally not alone. And I was going to say, I think it kind of plays into, if Padme did come back as a Force ghost, how meaningful that would be for him, more so than speaking to Anakin, in my opinion. Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know. It's a lot. I don't think that'll happen. I think that's, like, really reaching. But I do think that out of every character, I mean, granted, Anakin made a lot of the same mistakes that Kylo was making and could really help him. But I think Padme is somebody who would truly, truly understand and be able to say, you know, I see you. I know what's happened. I still love you, and others still love you, and I'm here for you.
Yeah.
Unconditional love.
Yeah. And I think that even if she's not a Force ghost, there's potential for a flashback to like show Ben what his grandparents were truly like before everything went down.
Yeah. And we just read another fic where he was reading a little bit more about Padme, and I feel like we know so little about, like, if, like, how much does Leia know about Padme, how much does Luke, like, how much does the galaxy know. We have our own headcanons about how Kylo Ren learned that he was the grandson of Darth Vader. Like, does he know about Padme? I think there's a lot of questions there, and I would love to see that explored. I don't think that's ever going to happen. Maybe in books, maybe in comics, but certainly not in nine.
No time.
There's not enough time. Yeah. That's kind of the thing with episode nine. It's like there's so much that we want to happen, but there's so many things that have to happen. So other things kind of, it's like, okay, well, maybe in a book or maybe in a this, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk about their personality types. Padme is an ISFJ, which you are, and Ben Solo, and I'm not the only one who's made this connection. I think originally Tammy on Twitter noticed this, is that Ben Solo is an INFP, so they're very close together. But they're a little bit different. Myers-Briggs types, those are those, you know, like everybody has four letters. I'm an INFJ and like what they stand for, all that kind of stuff. But really what you're looking for, and this is going to get really nerdy for a minute, but what you're looking for are the cognitive functions, which is what these letters represent. And Angie and I, Angie from Network 1901, have gone really in-depth on this. We did a mini podcast about it. We make some videos about it. I specifically did one about Padme being an ISFJ. But what that means is that her dominant functions are introverted sensing and extroverted feeling. So she is taking information from the world around her subconsciously, she's not really aware that she's doing it, and using this to figure out how can I best help the people around me. And this is what makes her a really great leader. This is what makes her like stay true to herself. This is what makes her, you know, she can't go with Anakin. It's breaking her heart.
She often thinks about everyone else before herself.
100%. And I would also say that you see that in Leia as well. Very selfless. Which is interesting because Leia's personality type, at least from what I have found, is much closer to Anakin's, which I think is hilarious and it's great. But yeah, Padme is just very selfless. She will always choose the greater good. She says exactly what she means. And she just, she is who she is. And while Queen Shadow is her trying to figure out who Padme is underneath it all, you really do see that there's like this amazing woman here who, once she has it all figured out and becomes a senator, the Padme that we see in the Clone Wars and in Revenge of the Sith, no bad things would ever have happened if Padme could have lived.
And another interesting thing you have written here is that she loves to be in the shadows where people don't notice her, where she can observe. And I'd say, I think that Ben is very much like that. And I would imagine as a Jedi, like a Padawan, a student, he was very much like that.
I think so, too. I think that he's been so under the weight of his legacy that all he wants is to just be no one. And that's kind of what Padme is able to achieve with Amidala. Not Amidala. Amidala. That's the ship name. Because when she's the queen, Padme can kind of slip into the shadows. Nobody knows who Padme is. They just know who the queen is. So she's able to observe and be more places and do more things, whereas Ben isn't able to do that because he is Ben Solo. He's the son of Han Solo and Leia Organa. He's the heir apparent to Lord Vader, all that kind of stuff. And I do think he kind of sees a little bit of that in Rey. You know, like, you're no one, you come from nothing. Like, to him, that's what he wants. Like, that's freedom for him.
And for Padme, she performs the decoy maneuver and she gets, like, fun out of it.
Yeah,
she gets so much fun out of being, like, quote-unquote, no one.
She even says that she kind of loves the thrill of maybe she'll get caught. Which is just, like, it's so fun. Like, it just really adds a little bit to her character.
I don't think Ben would want to be caught. I don't think he would get a thrill out of that.
No. Well, and see, that kind of comes to, like, her... She also... That's kind of her extroverted intuition, just a little bit. Like, ooh... Maybe I'm going to get caught. I don't know. But that's like such a base function where she just wants that thrill and she wants that adventure. I think Anakin brings out a little bit of that in her as well. Maybe Rey will bring a little bit of that out in Ben. Who knows?
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Yes, you can. She would be the one. It's like, hey, let's go up on this rooftop. And he'd be like, what? No, I'm afraid of heights. And she'd take him up there anyway, and then things would happen.
No, I was going to say, let's kiss in the blood of our enemies.
I like how we both went to Serpent and Dove, though. But Ben, on the other hand, he's an INFP, where Padme leads with introverted sensing. Ben leads with introverted feeling. Introverted feeling is also known as authenticity. It was nicknamed that by the Personality Hacker website. And this is all about your feelings and yourself, who you are, your personal identity. And I do think you see that with Padme, even though she doesn't have that function. But this has been like, he leads with what he believes is right and what he believes he needs to do. So I could see this, it's very easily to manipulate this function because you want people to see you a certain way. And if somebody were to come in and say, oh, I understand you, I see you like this, and then you kind of latch on to that, it could be taken advantage of, which is where I see Snoke kind of coming in.
Or Palpatine, right?
At this definitely.
Does Snoke really matter at this point? Like, was it Palpatine?
Yeah, was it just Palpatine the whole time?
Of that little difference in both their personalities, Palpatine was able to succeed where he didn't with Padme.
Yeah, he was able to kind of slip in there. Mm-hmm. I do feel like if Padme had been there, you know, they both lead with these introverted functions, I think she could have helped him see the light in a way. Just because she kind of gets where that's coming from. Leia also uses introverted feeling, but it's her base function. And it's actually interesting because if you read Leia, Princess of Alderaan, it acts up because she wants to prove to her parents so badly, like who she is, and she wants to be loved so badly. And I think because it's her base function, she wasn't super equipped to help her son through that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I know for me, like, my base function is extroverted sensing, which to me is, like, really icky, and I don't want to do it. And so when I encounter people where that's, like, their dominant function, I'm like, get away from me. So that's kind of how it, like, plays out when you find people with, like, that base function. So if Ben could have had another introvert in his life to come through, that could have made a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate because Luke Skywalker leads with introverted feeling. And for some reason, it just didn't mesh. And that's something that I'm interested to look at.
I think we'll see it. I think maybe in the comic run, we'll see why that didn't mesh.
Yeah. I could see, like, you know, it's all about, like, integrity and being, like, this is me and, like, proving yourself and, like, putting your feelings out there. And I think, you know, Luke Skywalker really became the hero, the legend, and to the point where his nephew who was hurting, his nephew who was kind of exposing the under, like, kind of dark side of him becoming a hero, fell to the wayside, maybe. Yeah.
I could also see Luke being like, I don't want to give him more attention because he is my family and I have all these other students.
Yeah. I could definitely see that, for sure. I hope that Rise of Kylo Ren goes into his time at the temple, because I think that's what we need. Or even in Episode 9, if we get more flashbacks, which we know Mark Hamill is in the movie, I really think that there's a lot to be said here. And especially with how Ben maybe even found out about Darth Vader. Like, there's a lot going on here. There's this really clear separation in Queen's Shadow between Padme and Queen Amidala, to the point where Padme herself thinks about them as two separate people.
Mm-hmm.
Amidala keeps her emotions hidden, to the point where Padme, nobody knows who Padme is, but Padme doesn't even know necessarily who she is without that mask on.
Yeah, and then with Kylo and Ben, Ben is the very emotional one, the very, I would say, like, he has a lot of feminine traits that, like, he kind of suppresses to become Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the difference between introverted feeling and extroverted feeling, because extroverted feeling is all about how other people feel. So you kind of put yourself by the wayside. Like, both of us use extroverted feeling. Whereas, like, if you lead with introverted feeling, it's what you're feeling, and it's very in the moment and thrown out there. So it's very fascinating that we do have two male characters that are like that. I think with Kylo Ren, he's trying so hard to just push that down and to just be like, I'm Kylo Ren, I, you know, am here, I'm in charge, that it's just backfiring on him. Like, his mask is hurting him in a way that Padme's kind of does, but more than anything, Padme's kind of helps her, like, figure herself out, whereas with Ben, he's almost hiding from himself.
And he can't escape himself.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the big thing.
He can't escape his family. He can't escape his legacy. Can't escape the personality of Ben Solo. It's impossible. You can't put a mask on and not go back to yourself like Padme does.
Yeah, yeah. And see, like, that's one clear difference, is that Padme can take that mask off, and then she's Padme. She may not know necessarily who she is at the beginning of this book, but she does know that she's not Amidala. Whereas Ben, I think his pieces are held together by Kylo Ren. And so, like, without the mask, he falls apart. And he can't run from it, even though he's trying so hard.
And what I really love, we're talking about masks, and right now we've seen that mask glued back together. And if you think about it, The Last Jedi showed us Ben Solo. During those Skype sessions with Rey, each Skype session, he was shedding a layer of Kylo. And he's becoming Ben, and Ben, and more Ben until the end. And now he's glued Kylo back together.
Mm-hmm.
And, and he's the most fragile as Kylo as he's ever been, I think.
Well, because look what happened. He opened up, probably for the first time since he fell to the dark side, and he got hurt. He got hurt real bad. So he went back to Kylo Ren. And unfortunately, because of what happened in The Last Jedi, he can't quite fit it back together the way it used to be. Too much has changed. And that is, like, showing, we see that literally, because we can see the cracks in his mask.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, people who hate the mask, but it's very important that it's back.
I think so, too.
This does kind of play into, I think you were the first person I heard this from, that maybe it's not Kylo in the mask.
Yeah, the whole theory of, like, the decoy Ren in the mask or whatever actually didn't come from any of the marketing stuff for me. It was when I was reading Queen Shadow. Because I was picking up all these similar things between them, and I'm like, you know, the Handmaidens are kind of like the Knights of Ren. Even though we don't know that much about the Knights of Ren, but I was like, well, you know, he's master of the Knights of Ren. Like, what does that mean? And Padme, she's the queen of Naboo, and she has all these handmaidens under her doing a series of different things for her. They're not just making her up every day. They're doing a whole bunch of different things. They have a lot of different things that they can do. So what if the Knights of Ren are like that, and they all have different abilities, and they all kind of serve a purpose to Kylo? And what if that means that they also pull the decoy maneuver?
Yeah, which I don't think that's where we're going now, but I do think it's a super interesting theory. And it even gets into a little bit, like, with names, because all of the handmaidens adopt a name to reflect Padme. That's why they all rhyme, and they all sound the same. But, I mean, I could definitely see that with the Knights of Ren, because they're all of Ren, you know, kind of thing.
But they don't have names. It's Knight of Ren with cannon arm.
Yeah, arm cannon Ren.
Yeah.
I love arm cannon Ren. That's so funny. Big knife Ren. See, spatula Ren is really a thing. Trash can Ren. But I think it's a really cool idea that could even, like, bleed through. I think if maybe Ben Solo wasn't as much of a hot mess, I could even see that that'd be something that he would do.
Yeah.
Just to get away from it all. Introverts can be very good leaders, but you gotta get away from it all, which worked out for Padme, because she wasn't just the queen. She was also Padme. That's kind of her struggle in this book, is that she can't hide behind that mask anymore when she's a senator. She has to be Padme, and that's what allows her to become so successful. But it's hard to shed that mask. Like, she even reflects, you know, it makes her uncomfortable to let people see her. She's afraid that if somebody breaks through, it'll be catastrophic. And it is. She lets Anakin in, and it does kind of end badly. And Ben lets Rey in, and right now he's really hurting. But I think that's the path to fixing the tragedies and the mistakes that have happened before. The whole crux of Reverse Annie Dalla is fixing the mistakes of what happened to Anakin and Padme. And I do think 100% Reylo is Reverse Annie Dalla, but if you look at it as Ben is Anakin and Rey is Padme, which you can definitely, there are definitely parallels 100%. There, 100%. But when you look at it as he's Padme and she's Anakin, you really see what could have happened if things had just been a little bit different. And I think that is kind of what's going to open the door to finding that triumphant end.
And the whole dark Rey thing, I want to bring that up. If that is a vision of what could have been, and we see that scenario of what Ben could have been if he hadn't fallen to the dark side, I think we would see something like Padme.
Yeah. Could you imagine? So that even goes into it. If that is a vision of what could have happened, both of them were could have fallen to the dark side. But if Rey had fallen, that's very similar to Anakin's fall. And then it just all repeats again.
Oh my gosh. So it's like Ben had to fall to reset the pattern, like to like not have the pattern continue itself. Like the person of legacy fell instead of the no one from the desert planet.
Oh my god. I love when we achieve galaxy brain. It's, I mean, that's it though. Like, if it would have just been like Annie Dalla all over again, you know, it wouldn't have, we wouldn't be where we are now. And it's so tragic that Ben Solo fell. Like, he fell so that Rey wouldn't. He has all of this legacy piled on top of him, but it's like, it's almost like the Force knew that if it had happened the other way, it wouldn't have been righted. Like, they wouldn't have, it wouldn't have achieved balance again. Because then you could even pull back around that maybe, like, Rey was conceived from the Force and she's in the desert. And, like, you know, it all plays into it. But what's reversed is that she is in the light with potential for dark, whereas Ben is in the dark with potential for light.
Yeah. I can just imagine, like, in Hercules with the Fates, and they're, like, cutting the threads and deciding what's going to happen. Like, them, like, being like, no, we need to make sure that he's the one to fall, and how tragic that is for the Skywalker family. And the thing...
Can I just... No, go ahead.
Like, the fact that the Skywalker family has to suffer for there to be balance is really sad.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I... So, this is a little bit of a tangent. I just read the newest Trials of Apollo book called The Tyrant's Tomb. And this might be a little bit spoilery if you haven't read those. But there's a character who, his life force is tied to a piece of wood. And when that wood burns up, he'll die. At least that's what he had always assumed. And he, in this book, takes hold of his destiny and embraces it fully, and somehow through him owning it and carrying this burden and then burning so brightly, it changes his fate, which is really fascinating. That happens to another character in this book too. She owns her fate. She stops letting other people tell her what she has to be, and she changes like her destiny and sets off on a different path. So Ben, this can even get into what you had theorized, Ben knowing his fate.
I was about to say that with him, like him saying like, I'll finish what you started, grandfather. Right. And what his grandfather potentially started was bringing balance to the Force. If you want to go mm-hmm. that way, that's what he meant. And him knowing that the only possible way was to sacrifice himself to become the Dark Force user instead of this lonely orphan old Jakku that he didn't know.
Somebody that he had only seen maybe in dreams,
But that's the thing, because if he had been seeing her in dreams and he was so isolated in the outside world, like, he knew that he had this one friend in his dreams.
And he did
everything for
the
her.
Ultimate sacrifice to save her. God, guys. Star Wars is so good. No, but remember, Alex, I don't really like Star Wars. I'm just hip with the hop. Dude bro told me that. Wow. Yeah, so I don't even know how to, like, wrap this discussion up other than just, guys, like, this is episode, we already knew this, episode 9 is going to murder us, but imagine if we got to see this. Like, imagine if we got a book or a comic and it confirmed, like, that they had been seeing each other, or that, you know, Destined to Fall, reverse Annie Dalla. Like, it's amazing. And that's some grade A storytelling.
I think that there's hints that have been laid down for us that could make it possible. And I would understand, like, if they were going to do it, why they wouldn't give us more, because it would, like, spoil everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, this is, like, heavy speculation. Yeah. This is, like, heavy meta.
We have nothing to back this up.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I could see that, like, if you were a casual fan, like, this is a lot. But if you kind of lay some threads down and, like, you're paying attention, like, it's not that far out there.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. Like, it's... I think, you know, the general audience would so get it if you're just like, oh, yeah, it's reverse Anakin and Padme. And they'd be like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
You know, it makes
and
sense.
And then you can explore that more if you want to through other things.
Because the threads are there. And, like, that even plays into, you know, Star Wars is a story that's told out of order. So, you know, you kind of have to look at it from, like,
can
all
I
the threads.
Can I just mention that if that were to happen... the potential for a machete order where you watch 7, 8, 2, 3, 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you would see, like, where they fell and where they went wrong, and then you get to see that triumphant end, which I know cuts out the original trilogy,
which there's a lot
of great things there.
I would even potentially put Phantom Menace before 7. So you see Anakin's beginning on the desert planet. And then you go and you see Rey on the desert planet.
Guys.
So,
guys.
So 1, 7, 8, 2, 3, 9.
Which is funny, because right now, like, the Skywalker's machete order is, like, 1, 4, 5, like, 2, 3, 6.
7.
So it's very similar. Oh, God. Star Wars is so good, y'all. I'm just...
And then the other... I'm going to bring Solo into this now.
Yes, please. Please do.
So at the beginning of Solo, when they're running away together, and then they get separated at that gate, and Kira tells him to go. Like, says, like, no, like, I want you to get out. Like, I'm sad, like... Like, it's okay, keep going. I whatever's going to happen to me is going to happen to me, but I want you to keep going. Is so, like, so heavy.
She fell to the dark side for Han. Y'all.
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. That's on our list. Oh, man. Well, and even, like, you know, in that scenario, Ben is Kira and Rey is Han. But, you know, Han is also his son, in just how sweet he is and how romantic he is. And you know, again, that is kind of a look at, like, maybe Ben Solo could have been like this if he hadn't have fallen. Like, there's so much joy there that Ben doesn't get because mm-hmm. we have to balance out the universe. But through this, like, he has found, like, his equal and his match in the Force. And they're going to bring balance. I'm ready for December.
I'm very ready. And there was a very long point where I said, I don't want it yet. I'm not ready. Yeah. I'm not ready. Yeah. Like, I hope it never comes. And I've gotten to a point where I'm like, no, you know what? I'm ready.
Ready. Well, and to me, like, the more, like, I talk about it, like, the more we talk about it, the more, like, I'm so excited to see this movie.
Yeah.
And I know that some people, like, especially now, it's very common to see, like, some people are getting, like, frustrated with fandom or get angry or get negative because of the marketing or anything like that. But, like, just being able to, like, talk about these theories and, like, find these threads, like, gets me so excited mm-hmm. for episode 9. And, like, we're really close to a trailer. I think this trailer is going to break us.
I think potentially our next episode will be talking about the trailer. Potentially.
Yeah. We have it on our doc as, like, trailer talk and Spark of Resistance. If we don't get a trailer, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Spark of Resistance is only middle grade book. But I think we're real dang close. Yeah. But do you have any closing thoughts about Padlo before we move on to our Twitter question?
No, I don't think so. I think we went full galaxy brain, and that's always our goal in our discussion.
I want you to be, if you're listening to this, driving down the road, to just, like, stop the car and just, like, put your head in your hands.
Yeah, the meme of DW just, like, in, like, a crouched position, like, with her hands on her face, or
yeah.
Pikachu having his existential crisis in his little, like, bed, like, his little, like, blanket, staring at the sky, because that's been me for the past 2 weeks.
That is literally us at any given time. It, like...
And I have multiple variations of the meme, too.
Yes, Alex makes a new one every time something else happens. It's like, oh, it got worse. I love it. It's great. But with that, let's move into our Twitter question.
Yeah.
So, Alex, what did we ask this week?
Okay, so the question is, what do you think Kylo keeps stored in the glove compartment of the Whisper? So the Whisper is the name of his new silencer.
It was also the name of his fantasy pony when he was a horse girl.
So this was confirmed on a Funko packaging of mm-hmm. him in the new silencer. And it says Whisper on it. And I think that's the only place you know this from.
Yeah. And in case you don't know, Alex... loves the silencer.
I love the silencer.
What do you think about the Whisper?
I think it's it's very baby of him. And
he just wants some peace and quiet.
Because, you know, like, here's the thing, like, Reed Diggory would also call, like, a ship or, like, his horse or something the Whisper.
Reed Diggory, the guy who keeps a romance novel in a hole behind his bed.
Yeah. Yeah. He would call that the Whisper also. And I love Reed Diggory.
I love Reed Diggory so much. He's the babiest of babies. It's so great, guys. Mm-hmm. But we got a lot of responses from you guys, which is very appreciated. And I guess let's popcorn them off.
Okay, so Hope said, snacks. It's hard to find time to sit down and eat a full meal when you're supreme leader. So there's some granola bars and trail mix in there.
I think it would be Rey that would remind him to eat, though.
Yeah.
Rey would definitely cram some, like, unhealthy snacks in there. He'd be like a health food snack, and she'd be like, no, where are my mini donuts? So MC from What the Force said a comb, his emo mixtape, his pre-battle mixtape, and traveling calligraphy set.
Ooh.
Love it. Love it.
I like that he has two different mixtapes.
I do too, and I feel like that's very Skywalker level extra, and I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin definitely had multiple mixtapes.
Yeah. Donnie Jeep said a Claude Funko Pop.
That... We are a family-friendly podcast. We are a family podcast. Moving on.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of...
Of Sarah's
Sarah. Feet. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. You've corrupted
us. I hope that Claude is explained in that visual dictionary.
Me too. So Sydney, at Sydney Solo said, a comb, compact mirror, definitely Kleenex, and mayhaps chapstick.
I think a lot of people said, like, lip balm or chapstick.
And a comb, that's the second comb, which I think Adam Driver said that there are combs in the helmet, so that it, when he takes it off, he's full Disney prince.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, space waffles, poopsie cadence, said condoms.
And I want to say that somebody else said condoms, yours truly, Dark Ray, and then somebody commented that said expired.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I like that. So Sarah, who we were just talking about, said Kleenex and a Walkman with a CD he burnt that only has one track, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And I think out of all of the answers, that's like
my favorite.
Basically my answer. Yeah.
Well, we're going to
Total Eclipse of the Heart on our soundtrack.
I was going to say we do have an answer though. And we didn't think of that. No one got our answer, but
yeah.
Okay. Keep going. Okay. Sophia, Kylo Ren Vivo said eponymous pads for his girlfriend because he's a good boy, and she sent a picture of sanitary pads that say Whisper Cotton Soft Nights on them.
All I'm thinking now are, you know, when we first got the image of her like jumping over, we thought it was a silencer, and everybody's like, oh, smut on the silencer. This is Whisper Cottony Soft Nights. I'm sorry, y'all. God. Family friendly. Family friendly. Anyway, Sarah, different Sarah, Wettersons, said at least one Queen cassette tape, spare hair product, several scrunchies, and tire pressure gauge.
Oh, and someone also replied to her saying, not cheap scrunchies either, space slip silk.
I will say, as somebody with curly hair, it's nice to sleep in a scrunchie because they don't, like, mess up your curls. So, does Kylo Ren sleep in scrunchies? Is that how he achieves his hair?
Mm-hmm, maybe. Okay, Pianist said, spare notebook and pens, breath mints, embroidered handkerchief, compact mirror.
I like everybody who references his calligraphy hobby because it just makes me think of Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And how he would write poems on the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
like,
Ben Solo.
When he's, like, sitting around waiting to go somewhere, he's just, like, gonna take out the old notebook.
Yeah. It's like Saul Ray again yesterday. Love it. They'd be more emo than that.
At Miss Michael said, hand sanitizer, a couple good sci-fi novels, a Starbucks gift card, and his cell phone and earbuds for listening to his favorite podcast.
Would Kylo Ren read sci-fi, or I guess a Ben Solo? I feel like bodice rippers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he reads romance.
Yeah, just like Reed Diggory. But that has a tasteful love scene.
That's what he said.
Yeah, because she's like, oh my god, it's a bodice ripper, and he's like, it's tasteful. So at Infus Blessed said tinted lip balm, power bars, and his old Tuca doll. That's adorable.
At RTNDPDS said, oil for his chest and hairspray.
You gotta be ready for impromptu force bond, basically. The last one, Dragon Debbie said, Kylo's glove compartment in the Whisper contains Naboo beeswax lip balm, a razor boar bristle hairbrush, and a box of Puffins cereal.
Puffins! Yes.
So, Alex, what was our answer for this?
Knee pads.
Which goes with the scrunchies. Oh my god. Sorry, guys. But somebody did notice that Rey's costume has built-in knee pads.
Well, that's how it started. Was it?
That's how it started.
She has knee pads. I'm like, well, does he have knee pads? I'm like, they're in the compartment of his Whisper.
Yep, that's how it started. So, I mean, he's on his knees an awful lot. So, I mean, you know, he kneels a lot. It doesn't have to be dirty. You don't have to take it there. He's just protecting his knees, guys. Alex is just looking at me like, sure. Sure, Jan. Okay, so let's move into Little Bebos. So what are Little Bebos, Alex?
Okay, so our little Bebos are just little things that we liked. Like, some things that, like, really stand out to us in our discussion, basically. Mm-hmm. So what's yours?
My little Bebo is actually something that I had written down, but we didn't get to. So on Naboo, children are encouraged to pursue artistic talents, and Padme's is poetry. So I think it's really adorable that Ben Solo has a calligraphy set, and maybe he writes poetry just like his grandma.
So cute.
I know.
I think my little Bebo is Babu. I think his toy is really funny looking and cute.
It's very little.
Yeah.
Is it because it's a Lego? Because I thought they said it came with the C-3PO Black series.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see it in the stores on Friday.
It's very tiny. I like that Babu Frick is his name, and it just sounds like a swear word. It's great. But like we said, next week we might have a trailer to freak out about, so that's really exciting. I don't know if we'll still be alive if that happens.
Yeah, and we'll also, like, have empty wallets from next week, too.
Yeah, I work the entirety of that weekend, but I'm gonna try to get some online stuff.
Yeah.
Because I really want a Rey pop figure, because I don't have one of her in the three buns, so that's what I really want.
Calendar. Far From Home comes out today.
Oh, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Night Monkey.
Mm-hmm. So that's...
Oh, yeah! Spider-Man was also saved!
Yeah. It was the same day that something else good happened, and it was like, this is my day.
Yeah.
Was it Vampire Covers, I guess? Yeah. It was Vampire
Probably.
Covers.
Probably, yeah. When Raylos invented purple, they also saved Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So they are making a third Spider-Man. It'll come out in 2021, which means Tom Holland is no longer living in a box on the streets of London.
Yeah, he's not homeless anymore.
Nope. He's still going to be in The Mandalorian, though.
Yeah, we're telling... Knows. Yeah, you heard it here. We have inside knowledge.
Just watch. When he's there, you're all doubting us, and when you see him, they're going to go, oh, damn, they got it right. Or we're clowns.
I really don't.
But that's okay.
Because the more we go on about this theory, the more I believe it. it makes complete sense to me.
Just putting the clown makeup on.
No, everyone else will see. They'll be the clowns.
They'll be the clowns.
I was going to say, I clown a lot, but this time I have a feeling I'm not a clown.
Not clowns, yes. Well, I think that is a perfect spot to end this podcast on. If you want to support us, you can always reach out to us on network1901.com. There you'll find the links to everything. We have t-shirts where every week we have new designs, all done by Alex. We also have a Patreon where you can get some Lipstick and Lightsabers buttons. If you would like to be part of Lipstick and Lightsabers and send in your Star Wars story, we highly encourage you to do that. You can email us at lipsticklightsabers1901@gmail.com. We're also always on Twitter, so if you ever have any questions, you can message at lip_lightsabers or either one of us. We're always there.
Message us about Serpent and Dove. Tell us what you think. Tell us, please. Give us a play-by-play of what's happening. I want to relive the book.
yes. Tag Alex Leonis and McCarter Shannon. We want to know what you think of Serpent and Dove. But I think that's going to wrap it up, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.